Welcome to From Writer to Author in 4 Weeks, putting yourself on the fast track to getting published. Welcome back. I'm glad to see you here in our fourth and final module. If you're ready for the final step, let's get moving with a quick review from week 3. All right, last week you were conducting your research, producing a rough draft, and having a preliminary review with the inclusion of a beta reader. All right, hopefully you've let it rest for some time. I recommend at least 24, but up to 72 hours, and maybe even more if you have the time. At this point, you're going to begin your official edit. So now you have a rough draft that you're ready to turn into a final. All right, first thing that you need to do is be concerned with unnecessary words. Let's throw them in the trash. As writers, we love words. We have a love affair with them, and I certainly am guilty of this one. I use in order to and is able to and a lot, and I have to catch myself and pare these down with almost every single edit I do to this day. So as you can see from my examples, instead of saying a number of, you can say few or several or many. Instead of saying in order to, just say to. Is able to, is can. On a monthly basis is a lot more clunky and onerous than just monthly. Monthly is fine. Another way to get rid of unnecessary words is to remove excess modifiers. Again, I use many of these. In particular, I use just and really quite a lot. But you may find that many of these pop up in your writing along the way. That's fine. When you're first writing, it's okay to have them in there as long as you remember to remove them at the end. The next thing you want to make sure you do in editing is look for logic skips. Find points in your writing that just don't make sense. Information that doesn't help support your main points, and it seems like, well, maybe it doesn't even belong in that section, or maybe it doesn't belong in that article at all. Look for paragraphs that don't easily flow from one to another. And finally, do a minor cleanup that includes typos and misspellings, grammar, punctuation, all that kind of little stuff that you need to clean up. And perhaps you've gotten input from beta readers that will help you with these, because beta readers are really good at finding typos and things like that. But in case you're having trouble with editing your document, here's a bright idea, right idea. And I love this one. It works great. Read your article out loud. This is particularly good at helping to recognize skips in logic and correct grammar. I can't tell you how many times I've thought, this article is genius, and then I've read it out loud and I thought, that doesn't flow quite right. I like to take notes as I go along, so a lot of times I'll actually record myself reading the article so that I can stop and listen and be free to take notes as I listen to myself read it. A newbie mistake when you're doing this kind of editing is being so in love with your language that you can't get rid of any of it, and in not filtering information. And what I mean by not filtering information is not being able to see this isn't important to the theme of my article. It might be really well written paragraph. I actually had trouble with this not too long ago, maybe even within the last month. I wrote an article and I just loved this one paragraph that I wrote. I thought it was genius, but it really didn't fit with the article. It didn't do anything to advance my argument, and it was really unnecessary. Ultimately, I did take it out, but it really hurt me to do so. So you won't be the first person that's hurt by having to cut their language. So just kind of, you know, straighten your shoulders and chin up and move on. Just get rid of the things that are not necessary for your article. Finally, let's move into formatting your article to get ready to send it to publication. You'll need to have your heading and title, of course, but if there are any specific requirements from your publication about fonts and spacing, you need to make sure you take that into account. Many publications have specific ways they want articles submitted, either double spaced and you know, a certain size and a certain font, say 12 point Times Roman, or they want it pasted in a body of an email even. Things are getting less formal as time moves on, so you'll find a lot of those. Just make sure you follow the directions. Also, be careful with your word count. If they have specified a count, either no more than this many words or at least this many words, make sure that you're reaching their desired word numbers. And finally, make sure that you include an author bio, because that's a great way for you to get exposure, especially if you're submitting articles online. And it should be written to tell people a little bit about you, make you interesting, and let people know what your authority is to write this article. Some of the things that you can include to build a better bio is where you live, what kind of education you have, life experience, interests, travel. If you have writing credentials, definitely put them in there. And you can throw in something a little personal too. I have more complete instructions on building a bio in the supplemental materials, so be sure to check that out, because it's rather detailed and it gives you examples of several different types of bios. Okay, so now let's talk about selling your article. You have already chosen some publications, and so you've chosen a voice and a format that you're writing in, but what if those publications end up not being interested? Well, that's okay, because you can sell your article in other places as well, and you may be able to sell the same article more than once. Some places to look when you're trying to sell an article are Writer's Market, Writer's Weekly, these websites, Who Pays Writers. I got a great lead off of that site recently, wordrates.com and contently.net. I'm sure there are others, but these are my favorites, the ones I use most often. So you can check any of these places, and you'll want to be sending a query letter. No matter where you're sending your article, you want to query, that is, ask the editor first if they're interested in your article. A lot of times people will accept what they call unsolicited submissions, meaning they did not ask for you to submit something, and you can do that if you want, but you'll have more success if you query first. So let's talk a little bit about the query letter. A bright idea, right idea for your query letter is to pay attention to whatever instructions the publisher or editor gives you. There's usually a site. If it's an online magazine, you can go online to a submissions tab and find out how they want you to query them. If it's a print magazine, they usually have something either in the sidebar in the front or on the back of the magazine as to how to query them. But they will usually say that they either want a certain format, or some of them have websites that you go to in order to submit, so they'll have a form that you fill out online. Some of them, they want you to paste it into the body of an email. So you just want to make sure that you follow the instructions. Make sure you have the correct name of the correct editor, and make sure you don't misspell that name. That is absolutely a newbie mistake that you do not want to make. That is very disrespectful to not pay attention to the point where you either have the wrong person or the wrong person's name. So be very careful with that. Then you also want to capture the style and language of your target. Okay, so if you're writing to a lifestyle magazine, you can be very personable and maybe even funny in your query. But if you're writing to a trade publication or an academic publication, you don't want to use humor. You want to be more academic in your approach. And also make sure that you lead with a lead. You want to capture their attention, and you want them to know that you can capture their audience's attention. So show what a great writer you are by writing a great lead in your query letter. And don't forget to be personable. And that doesn't mean you have to be personal, if you know what I mean. You just need to be, you don't have to tell them personal things about yourself or act like they're an informal acquaintance, but you should be likable in your writing. All right, so now you've gotten a sale. What do you do? Well, after they've published your article, you need to, or agreed to publish your article, you need to make sure that you're responsive, meet your deadlines, and give them everything they have asked you to give. If they decide to edit you, it's okay. Be receptive to those edits. I have wonderful relationships with several of my editors, and my writing has improved by leaps and bounds because of those editors. So never be angry when they're suggesting edits. Most places actually will only suggest edits. You don't have to make them, but I usually find that I do make them because they make sense. And don't forget that following up is okay. It's okay to ask them if they've received your piece, if there's a delay in publication, if you don't see it coming out when it's supposed to, that's all right. Just don't pester them. So what do you do next? What is next on your schedule? Well, use PFM to map out your queries. You're going to have several articles in the pipeline now because you're a writer and you're a nonfiction writer who needs to write. So get started. You have all this list of ideas that you've built up, and get those articles in the pipeline. Use PFM to map out not just queries, but everything. Whatever system you use, PFM may not be right for you, but definitely make sure that you have some sort of way of tracking the your queries and your articles and what's in the pipeline, what's been submitted, what are your deadlines. That way you don't miss anything. Of course, Evernote is always good to keep track of ideas and articles and URLs and everything. But the most important thing is perhaps to build relationships. Building relationships with people that you've already submitted to is critical. It's a great way to get new assignments, and it's a great way to build a fantastic writing career. Definitely, as I said before, develop a relationship with your editors. Ask them questions about what they've edited. They absolutely love to answer questions. They love it that you want to learn. Be respectful of their time and be polite. Always be polite with whomever you're dealing with. And that is you will end up getting assignments from them. I am often queried by editors that have worked with me in the past, just asking me if I'm interested in doing another story. And that's a fantastic place to be in. Okay, so we're at the end of module form, but guess what? You still have homework. All right. So this is your final edit and format. Read your book or article out loud for final editing. Or you can have it professionally edited. Grammarly actually offers editors that they have in-house, or you can go to Elance and have someone edit it. That's going to cost you some money, but if you're not interested in doing it yourself, or you feel like you can't do it yourself this first time, then you could go and invest in that if you wanted to. I believe in you, though. I think all you need to do is do it yourself, and you'll be fine. Now, remember to format it according to instruction. You can pay someone to format it, but once again, that seems silly. Most articles are not going to pay you enough to be spending all of this money, so you can do it yourself. Don't worry about that. Okay, the next thing I want you to worry about is your bio. And I want you to write at least two bios, one long and one short. And that way you will have one for smaller pieces and one that's a little bit longer in case you get a feature article and they're able to add more information about you. If you have a website, definitely include that in both bios because you want your readers to be able to reach you. And finally, let's talk about your query. I want you to send out at least three query letters for every article you do. Keep track of them in a systematic way. Use PFM or use a computer system. Use Evernote. Use your calendar. However makes sense to you. Just make sure you keep track of it so you can know if you're waiting for a response, if you've gotten a response, if you need to check back with them and see if they've taken a look at your query. That way you can make sure you're not bothering people too many times. Now there's one more assignment I have for you, and this might not be too surprising, but your final assignment for week 4 is to write. Okay, once you get your first acceptance, remember to be responsive and stay on schedule. And don't forget to add that assignment to your bio if you need extra material. Every time you get an assignment, it might be another feather in your cap for your bio. Now, you don't need to list every writing assignment in your bio, but if you're brand new, it doesn't hurt to have that in there. Absolutely, I know you're going to get this part done because you're a writer. So let's look at enjoying the research of writing nonfiction. And Joseph Wambaugh said it best, nonfiction is quite enjoyable. He says, I enjoy the research of writing nonfiction. That gives me some pleasure being a detective again. And it is fun and it is creative. And I wish you good luck in your new nonfiction writing career. If you have any questions, I am always reachable at my website, www.gottabewriting.com, or at my email, which is gottabeme, gottabeeme@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you soon.